The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Mary and Martha. Mentioned together, these two names likely evoke a picture of the events described in our brief text this morning. It's easy to imagine the excitement of Jesus arriving at their home in Bethany. Martha bustling about, concerned to be a good hostess, preparing to serve Jesus and those who had arrived with him. And as she works, her sister Mary sitting devoted at Jesus' feet, hanging on his every word, listening to his teaching. If you had never heard this account before, had never heard Jesus' words to Martha in answer to her complaint that Mary wasn't helping, what do you think you would think? My guess is that your thoughts might very well be in line with Martha's. In our experience, according to the expectations of our culture, the time for sitting is when work is done. In most situations, you'd probably be uncomfortable doing nothing if people were hustling and bustling around you. At the very least, you'd feel obligated to offer help. You can understand Martha's frustration. In her shoes, eager to extend hospitality to a special guest, you would also probably feel that Mary was neglecting her duty. How rude to sit doing nothing when so many things needed to be done to provide for this special guest and his disciples. If any of your sympathies lie with Martha, Jesus' response to her should challenge you, cause you to think, cause you to reconsider your evaluation of the situation. "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." In his response to Martha, I note that Jesus is very loving toward her and also not very critical. He says that he's concerned about her anxiety and her being troubled. And he doesn't say, "What you're doing is not good." He says that there is one thing that is good above all the others, and that's what Mary's doing, and that's what I'd like you also to be receiving. What's the lesson of this story? Is it that you shouldn't be a Martha, spending your time in the kitchen rather than visiting with your house guests? I think I've probably heard that sort of a lesson suggested more than once. But is that really what the Lord wants those who hear these words to learn? Is that the reason the Holy Spirit inspired St. Luke to record these events? The answer is no. Jesus' teaching here isn't about hospitality, which the scriptures say is a good thing. It isn't about how to be a good host. The point of this account is not how to receive guests at your home.
The point is how to receive Jesus. When he comes to you, when you are in his presence, what should you do? What attitude should you take? What's the most important thing? If you were to follow Martha's example, you would think that it's about what you do for God. Your energy and attention will tend to focus on what you're doing to give him glory or praise or service. But that's not the most important thing. As Jesus said, he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. What's most important is not what you do for God, but about what God has done and continues to do for you. You know well what Jesus did for you nearly 2,000 years ago on the hill outside of Jerusalem in the midday darkness. That afternoon, he was bearing the sins of the world. He was bearing your sins in his body on the tree. He suffered the very God-forsakenness of hell, the punishment you had earned by your sin. He drank the cup of God's wrath all the way to its dregs, experiencing in your place all of the anger of God over your sin. He died so that you could live, so that by faith, forgiveness, life, and salvation could all be yours. And then after he had died and was buried, he rose again, showing that the Father had accepted his sacrifice, that he had fully atoned for your sin, that he had fully defeated death and the grave. All of this he did, once and for all, for you and for me. But that wasn't the end of his service for us men and for our salvation. Through his word and by his sacraments, Jesus continues to serve us to this day. That's what happens when he comes to us here in church. Each time we read the Bible, every time we hear his word, in these ways he comes to us to serve us. He comes to bless us. He wants us to receive the gifts that he brings, as Mary received his gifts when he came into her home. This is divine service, when God comes bearing gifts, desiring that we listen to him, and so receive from him all that he comes to bring. He doesn't want us to be distracted, to be anxious and troubled about serving him or about all the cares and concerns in the world. He wants us to give our full attention to him so that we can receive from him all of the gifts that he has won for us. Not long after he spoke to Martha about the indispensable good, the one thing necessary which Mary had chosen and which would not be taken from her, he assured another woman that all those are blessed who hear the word of God and keep it by clinging to it and treasuring it. It's easy with Martha to judge that that's not really that much, that's not that important. After all, what value can there be in passively receiving, especially when there's work to be done? Isn't serving, isn't doing much more important? The answer is no. Not when Jesus is the one who has come. Not when Jesus is dispensing gifts that will endure forever. Again this morning he has come, saying to you through my lips and mouth, I forgive you all your sins. And as he said it, it was done for you. Your sins are as surely forgiven as if Christ, your dear Lord, had spoken to you himself. Through the words of the psalmist in the introit, you heard the tremendous blessing God has given you in his word that is a lamp to your feet and a light for your path. In the Old Testament reading we heard, he reminded us of his faithfulness. And as the Lord kept his promise to Abraham and Sarah by giving them a son, in the fullness of time, he provided the ultimate heir of Abraham, through whom he has blessed every family on the earth. This is the message he spoke through his servant Paul, that we who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, Christ has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. In today's gospel, he promises that this good news that he has brought us again today in his word, will not be taken away. Nothing else on earth, none of the other gifts that he gives, contain that promise. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, he assures. They are true forever, and whoever has trusted in them, depended on them, will never be disappointed. Still to come this morning, in this divine service of our Lord, is the gift of forgiveness he will deliver in bread and wine. Bread and wine he declares to be his own true body and holy precious blood. Through these, given into your mouth and poured down your throat, Jesus will again unite himself to you so that you are his, so that you may live under him in his kingdom, so that you may serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. And this gift of forgiveness and life comes not because of something you have done or will do, but as something you, like Martha's sister Mary, received by his gracious giving. Finally, before you go, the Lord will put his name on you once again, so that you are blessed by his presence, kept safe under his care, and preserved in body and soul throughout this day, throughout this week, and throughout your life, until his gracious call comes summoning you to the eternal joys of his presence. And all of that doesn't begin to consider Jesus' daily presence with you through his word, read, heard, remembered. In all of this, Jesus' intent is to deliver and convey to you the forgiveness of your sins, strength for this life, and eternal salvation, is determined to give you the gifts of his love. What better attitude could you take then than that of Mary, sitting quietly and attentively when he speaks, receptive, eager to receive all of his gifts, because in them you have the indispensable good, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. These will not be taken from you, but are and will be yours through all eternity. You have his word on it. Thank God. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.